Evening. Welcome to those of you coming in. You're so nice to look at. Just thought I'd let you know that in case you were wondering. So welcome again, and we're here tonight. Our topic tonight is today is the day, and or tonight is the night, if you like. Boy, you could do a lot with that, tonight is the night. This is the second talk in the series that we're doing on powerfulness, and I invited those of you who were here last week to think about those two words separated, as think of them as two words, as powerfulness. And we're here to shine the sun of our radiant being in a full way and look at what it means to be powerful, not overpowering and not powerless, but full of power. In other words, full of the truth of the divine, with the ability to express and to do, to share energy, to accomplish in our life. That's what this month is all about. And it occurs to me that we do that best when we're actually really fully present in our lives, when we're actually really there, not like our body's somewhere and our mind is somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? And I want to bring our attention tonight to the nowness of our spirituality and our spiritual life. And there is a saying, you have to be present to win. I thought you would laugh at that. And there's also a biblical teaching, now we are the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. Not on some, and daughters of God, of course, not on some finer day, not on some other day, not when you have it all together, whatever that means, not when you're more whole, because the truth is you're already whole. Now we are the sons of God. Not in a hereafter, but right here now. If it's ever going to be so, it is actually so right here and now. And it is about being what we are and expressing that. So today is the day, or tonight is the night, to be the truth of who you are. There is not a better time. Today is the day, tonight is the night, to express the wholeness that is the truth of you, to let go of whatever the withholding has been. Being present to win means that you're actually in your life, fully engaged in your life, alert to what is going on, not sleepwalking, not chilled out, not numbed out, not sunk in self-condemnation. I passed through that lovely little place yesterday. Not being with one person and wishing it was somebody else. I have a whole list for you here. Just hearing somebody but not really listening. Not doing things half-heartedly. Not agreeing when you don't mean it. Not speaking your truth and not asking for what you want. All of those things are about not being present. Yes? Do I have agreement? Okay, good. I can go on if I do. But it's about right here, right now, being in the fullness of who you are, with the fullness of that which is taking place, being alert and aware to all of it. That's what it means about being present to win life. And, you know, I was thinking about how my awareness of the now, or the nowness of things, opened for me. And there were two distinct steps. And that doesn't mean I'm not always fully in the now, but I know what the now feels like, and I know how to get back there when I'm not. But it was two things. One was Deepak Chopra, and this was when he first showed up on the scene. It was so many years ago, and he came as a speaker to our Asilomar conference. I had never seen him before. I had never heard him before. He was this mystic Hindu doctor who was so cute, I just wanted to take him home. His wife wouldn't have liked that, I'm quite sure. And he began to talk about meditation, and he just had us breathe. And he said, and I invite you to do this now, breathe consciously all the way to the top of the inhale and pause for a moment. And then breathe consciously, feeling your breath all the way to the bottom of the exhale and pause for a moment. And then breathe again to the top of the inhale and pause. And then to the exhale all the way consciously. And you've just spent a round of breath in the now. And he said that gap between the breaths is where you will find the now. And so he kept saying, fall into the gap. You know, and that was at the time the marketing slogan for the Gap organization, fall into the gap. And it was an aha for me that I actually could begin to feel the now and to be actually fully present. It's kind of crazy. We can't be anywhere but now, but we're just not always aware of it. We're interesting creatures. So it is to practice that full attention awareness, and the breath is so helpful in the present moment to anchor in the now so that you actually know what it feels like. Because our mind loves to slip off into the past or slip off into the future or just go on its own trip, which doesn't let us really be in the now. The second opening for me was through Michael Beckwith. It was interesting that I chose a quote of his tonight too. And he also was at Asilomar, and he was leading on Wednesday the silent meditation. And I had never really sat for, 3 hours in a silent meditation. This was a long time ago. And it was completely silent, and then he would say, very quietly, "And if your mind has gone to the past, bring it back. Or if your mind has gone to the future, bring it back." And so I began to understand really what the process was, how easy it was to not be in the now, but what the process was to come back into the experience of the now, which is the only place we can be powerful. You cannot be powerful in the past, and you cannot be powerful in the future. It's now. It's in the now, and today's the day, and tonight's the night. So being in the now, I realize, is also about doing what the now is asking of you. Did you follow that? It's about doing what the now moment is actually asking of you. What is the now moment presenting to you, and how do you be with that and respond to that? And I will confess to you that every now and then I practice the fine art of procrastination. And you would think by now that I would, because I really do understand what happens with it, but it always catches me off guard. And it is one of my favorite miserable practices. And what happens for me is that I will have something that I need to do that is a commitment or something that's required to do, and I will fall into, "I don't feel like it." And then if I stay in, "I don't feel like it" long enough, adrenaline will click in, which is really just an internal drug. It's been that and caffeine have been the drug of choice for a long time, drugs of choice. And I will use adrenaline to make it to the deadline and get the thing done. And so it happens, it works out. But the problem is there's wear and tear in that. There is wear and tear in that. And what happens is in the procrastination is that I lose energy. There's a spiral down of energy, so suddenly I don't feel like doing anything, not a single thing. And it seems like "I don't feel like it" creates the procrastination when it's really the other way around. Am I telling your story? Okay, good. Glad I'm not alone. It's really that procrastinating creates the feeling of "I don't feel like it." And so I invite you to think about this the next time your feet are dragging and your energy is lagging. And what I notice is that when I finally get to doing the thing that I know I need to do, there is energy and there is inspiration, and I'm actually totally absorbed in it, and it gets done. But why the wear and tear? How about if we just made our commitments, gave our word, and let the present moment engage us into what we actually need to be doing? Terry Cole Whitaker did a great talk years ago. It was called "Someday is Not a Day of the Week." Someday is not a day of the week. And so what I'm really speaking about here tonight is about being present, fully present, like really right here, right now, and in every moment, really right there, right then, and being whole, which you already are, feeling and knowing your wholeness, nothing broken, nothing missing, responding to what is in the present moment with you because you helped create it, so may as well respond to it. And the other thing that I would add into that is expressing the positive force of love, expressing the positive force of love. And before I talk about that, I want to speak about the Buddhist concept of the razor's edge. It's actually in the Zen tradition. Do some of you know it? So if you don't like that image of the razor's edge, because it's a sharp image, you can think about the balance beam in the Olympics. I don't know if you've been watching the last couple of nights, but watching the women do the balance beam has been quite remarkable. And The whole idea in Buddhist practice of the razor's edge is that the only place of authentic practice and realization is exactly at and as the pivot point of here and now. That where spiritual practice takes place is in this instant right now, and the next instant, and the next instant. And the practice, and it is a sharp one, is about staying in the present moment, not falling off one side to the past, not falling off the other side into the future, but actually being where you are in alertness and consciousness with what is happening, with who you are with, as you are practicing what you want to practice. And that is the concept of the razor's edge, and I think that it's really an interesting one. They say, the Buddhists say, that relationships are a razor's edge because it's the same thing, right? That you're in the present moment. Our relationships teach us all about our limitations and where we fall out of the present moment. They teach us where we stop loving, where somebody suddenly tempts us to not love them. It's right where the temptations are in our life, in relationship. And the practice is, how do I, in relationship with whatever's happening, keep coming back to the present moment and being who I want to be in this moment, in this thing called love. So I want to take this idea of expressing love and generalize it and share with you a little bit about, or from Rhonda Byrne's book, The Power. And Rhonda Byrne wrote The Secret, right? So you're all familiar with The Secret. And her book, The Power, is her second book. And it was recommended to me, and I really sort of resisted it for a while, but I'm actually enjoying it. It's a very, very simple and clear statement of what you already know. But we have to be reminded. So it's a very simple statement. And what she says is that love is the force that moves you. So there's a definition. And I think that actually partners really nicely with Ernest Holmes' statement of love is self-givingness. So love is the force that moves us. She says life is simple. It is made up of two things, positive things and negative things. By the way, I just offer this to you as food for thought. You'll have to see if it's true for you. Positive things and negative things. In every area of our life, we experience either the positive or the negative. For example, we have money or we lack money. We're vibrant with health or we have health challenges. We have relationships that are happy or relationships that are difficult. Our work is exciting and successful or it is disappointing and unsuccessful. We're filled with happiness or we don't feel good most of the time. We have good years, good times, good days, or bad years, bad times, bad days. And I want to say, but Rhonda, how about the shades of gray? And no, I have not read that book yet. It is on my bookshelf, though. Really, if something's a shade of gray, it's actually negative for us. Yeah? So, the fullness or the lack thereof, the positive or the negative. And she says, if we have more negative in our life than positive, we feel it and we know it and we feel that something is wrong. Because there's something innately in us that knows that we're here to be happy and to have a life that is joyfully expressed, that is meaningful to us, that contributes whatever we want it to be. And so we register that there's something wrong. When we see other people with their very, very fulfilled lives, we think, wow, I deserve that too. And you know what? We do. And you do. And you do. When she talks about love as the force that moves us, she's really speaking of love not as just a feeling or something passive on any level or static. She's actually talking about love as a force that makes things happen. That love is something that creates good. And she says that every person, every person who has a great life has used love to achieve it. And if the word love is difficult there for you, think of self-givingness. So every person who has a great life has given of themselves in some way that has created for them a great life. She said, every invention, every scientific discovery, everything that has been created has come from the love or the self-givingness of a human heart. That because of the love of the Wright brothers, we fly. Because of the love of Steve Jobs, we compute an iPhone and iPad, you know? Because of the love of architects and builders, we have houses and Masonic temples and churches and everything else that is important. Because of the love in a human heart, there's medicine and there are doctors and there's healing, you know, and nurses and all the rest of it. Because of love, we have teachers and schools and education and art and music and paintings, and on we could go. So she says that all things are created by the positive force of love, and that without love, nothing would propel us to get out of bed in the morning. And on the very few occasions, if I could count like maybe one or two, when I actually had trouble getting out of bed in the morning, it was because I was not expressing or feeling love, if I really look at it. Because depression is not love, right? So this little orange book, it's actually a very beautiful little orange book. I recommend it to you, The Power. She says, the power is within us. And if that is true, then why isn't every area of our life magnificent? Good question. Why isn't every area of our life magnificent? And it is because we have a choice. We have a choice to either harness the positive force of love and express it or not. We have a choice to either express positively or negatively. Every time we've experienced something good, she would say, we have harnessed the power of love. And every time we have experienced something not good, we have not loved. Driving here tonight, there was traffic. Somebody cut me off. In a moment, I did not love. Nothing bad happened except that I fell off the razor's edge of practice and had just that moment of awareness of, wow, I stopped loving. I had an experience yesterday of sending out an email to a list on behalf of a friend who I love very much, and then these two weird responses came back. Of course, my friend's not even on the list, so has no clue, which is good. And they weren't really at me, but it felt like a slap. They felt like two slaps. And I stopped loving. And I started making up these stories and the history about these two people who had sent these emails. Nobody in the room, by the way. And so I made up this story, and I didn't start coming back to myself until I realized I had stopped loving. They tempted me to not love them, and I went for it. You know, and the people in our lives are our temptations, and they call us off the balance beam. They call us off the razor's edge of our practice of love. Rhonda Byrne would say, love is the cause of all good things, and the lack of love is the cause of all negative things. And what I know is that when we bring forth love, things turn around. That love is always the answer. Self-givingness, in some way, is always the answer. So we know about cause and effect. We know that when we take an action, it creates an opposite action. So if we do an act of giving as an expression of love, there will somewhere be an act of receiving. We know this, that what we put out, we get back. What we send through Indra's net of interdependent relationships comes back to us. Also, when we do something, just the energy by which we did that thing rebounds upon us. So there's the immediate return. And then whatever we do in our life, it has impact on people, and then that starts coming back to us. And so it's a choice for us. What will we put out? What is it that we, that you, that I will put out? And a positive act of aid and support has much more chance of being returned to you at some time as aid and support. an act of anger, an expression of anger, will return anger. I was remembering that I was on the phone. It was a couple years ago. I was spun up one day. I was calling some civil servant or agency. I don't know what it was. I can't remember. But I had the attitude before I got on the phone. Not good. And there was a man on there. And I don't think I was abusive to him except energetically. And his energy just started to mount up, you know, and it was not a good conversation. I think I finally got what I wanted, but it did not feel good. I even called him back to apologize later, and he was not quite going there with me. But words to the wise, don't pick up the phone, you know, when you're in a state like that. And when you're about to push send on that email, just pause for a moment. You know, just pause for a moment. Because getting a slap through email is not a wonderful thing. You know, and it's so easy when something comes at us to just return it in kind. And that's how we have war in the world, you know, and on it goes. So there's a teaching, given it shall be given you. Given it shall be given you. And by what standard you measure, it will be measured to you. However you measure out yourself in the world, that's what's going to be measured right back to you. Give a little, get a little. Give a lot, get a lot. Seems true to me. And what we can do, or what we are doing, is we start to magnetize toward us things that are like our thoughts. That's the whole thing about the power of attraction. And we want to know that the thoughts that we think are both in our head and in the words that we speak. And so the practice here is to understand that our words create our actions. Think about how your day goes when you wake up in the morning and you say, I had this experience this morning. Wow, it's a beautiful day. There was such a gorgeous quality to the light this morning. It's a beautiful day. You know, and then my day proceeds with those words, as opposed to waking up and your first thought is, this day, you can fill in the blank. You know, how does the day unfold? One of the great things I got, the fact I think the only thing I got from the movie What the Bleep, or the only thing I can remember, do you remember that movie so long ago? It started the whole trend of consciousness movies. Hi, I haven't been looking over there. Hello. Sorry. It started the trend of consciousness movies, and one of the speakers said, just rehearse your day. If you're at the beginning of your day, begin to see it unfold step by step, how you would like it to proceed. I do this when I have complicated days. I've had very complicated days of travel and meetings before. Like, I don't know how this is going to work. And I just see it from one step to the other, making the plane, having the meeting, whatever it might be. I invite you to try it. That's the power of visualization. And to have high thoughts of great good, to see your day unfolding perfectly. And even if there's some interruption in that, you will be centered and present there. This is the power of our visualization. So the practice here is to start thinking and speaking about what you want and what you love, as opposed to thinking and speaking about what you don't want and you don't love. And it's about noticing where your thoughts and your words dwell. And why is it that we seem to make the negative more real sometimes than the positive, when really it's a choice? And we're making the choice all of the time. And wherever we focus, that's what we're going to get. That's what we understand. So it's about really being present and noticing all of the things around you that are here for you to love. And all of the ways that you can give of yourself as an act of love or self-givingness to generate good in the world. Bringing it back to nowness, it's about practicing on that razor's edge or on that balance beam and being alert to see and feel around you everything that there is to love. To see and feel around you everything that loves you. To be aware of what is around you. To hear sounds that you love. to catch the scent of flowers as you pass, to eat food and really taste it, you know, like to get the full flavor of it. It's about being here, being in it, being alert, in the moment, fully receiving the fullness of life. And Rhonda Byrne says there are some questions that you can practice to stay focused on love. You can ask, what can I see that I love? How many things can I see that I love? What else is there that I love? What can I see that excites me? What can I see that I'm passionate about? There's that word. What can I hear that I love? What can I do that I love? And I would add to that that if we really knew and felt and understood that spirit is the only reality here, if we really knew that our divinity, God in us, is the only power and presence active in our life, we would have no trouble seeing love and speaking about love because we would just be telling the truth. So I invite you to close your eyes. And just imagine that there is a little glowing ball of light, a little sun, that is right in your third eye center, right in the middle of your forehead. And just take a nice deep breath, feeling your breath moving in and out, giving your attention to your breath as you focus on this little ball of light in your third eye. And let that little glowing sun move back into the center of your head. Just imagine it moving back. And now let it begin to fall. And just watch this little glowing ball of sunlight move down and down and down, down through your neck and down into your chest. And let it come to rest in your heart center. And there it begins to expand and to shed its beautiful yellow light. And let it fall just a little bit further into the solar plexus, right in the center of your being. Just locate the center of your being and see the glowing ball of yellow light right there. And now allow the sun to expand. Just as you would imagine a sun growing in you, right at the center of your being, expanding in size. Bright sun yellow, warm, radiant, expanding and expanding, the light shining through all of your body, the circle of the sun growing, so the light presses out into all of your being, into all of your body, to all of your systems, radiant, gorgeous, beautiful light, expanding up to the third eye center in the crown chakra, expanding down to the very bottom of your feet and all around so that you feel yourself radiant in this glowing sun light. This is the truth of our powerfulness. We are the light of God. We're here to be the radiant truth expressed. And so see this light pressing out any fear or doubt, any resistance, any patterns of the past. Direct this radiant, warm sunlight into any area of your physical body that needs some healing. Allow it to dispel any darkness of thought or feeling. And just allow it to be so, the job done, that all you are is this radiant, glowing sun light. And know that your light shines as a positive force of love, so that you may give of yourself in wonderful ways. So that you may see what you love, contribute to what you love, bring forth what you love. And so I give thanks for this awareness right here, right now. Just place your hand on your heart for a moment. Take a nice deep breath into your heart center. know that this radiant truth of being is done, available for practice at any time. And so it is. And so very, very gently bring your full awareness to right here, right now. Let that sunlight continue to shine. Let your energy come up. Whenever you're ready, open your eyes. And here's Devavani.